T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the air, that's pretty well struck. Hamilton can't get it, and it's gone! Dickerson the other way, and the Marlins have taken the lead out to left center field, and it...
Wow, you want to talk about...
In the air, right field, well struck. Going back is Hayward. Gone! Aguilar with the home run. He goes the opposite way. Jeffress frustrated with the wind. And it's now 5-1. And a little wink from Aguilar as he goes around third.
That was your final yesterday also as the Marlins win game 1, 5-1. That was Boog Sciambi on the call for ESPN. We're going to jump out to the Twin of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Craig Mish, who's on the Sports Grid from 12 to 2 every day. He's got a Marlins podcast, Swings at Swings and Mishes, and also an MLB Network contributor. Craig, I'm guessing yesterday for you with 8 games had to be a little bit of Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, everything all wrapped into one for a baseball nut like you.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun. It's really interesting, Zach, when you look at it, that it kind of felt a little like March Madness until you get to the third hour of the game. And then you realize that there's still nothing like March Madness with those games over and done in 2 hours. I mean, baseball's long, you know? Like, the games are 3 hours plus. I mean, the Yankees-Indians was like, it felt like it was 5 hours last night. So while it was great, and I definitely did enjoy it, I've said before that I really think they can expand the postseason, and I think it's fun. But I think 16 teams is too many in baseball. I mean, they got to come up with somewhere between what they've had and what they have now. But it was fun to see. I didn't watch, candidly, every single game on yesterday, by the way.
Hey, Craig, the good news is, I mean, it's just the first round here is just the best of three series. And let's get to the Marlins, and starting with the news that came out in the ninth inning, Starling Marte with the broken left hand or his finger that you broke the story on. You expect he could play today?
No, I don't expect that. His status is very unclear for the rest of the series. And look, I understand there were a lot of different reports that went out. The first one being that he broke his hand, which obviously was not true. And then the second one with a broken pinky. And then, you know, I did read the report last night about the optimism that he could play. And I'm not going to rule that out. He's going to see a doctor, Joe, and they're going to ask the doctor if he plays. And it's the same question they ask every athlete. If he plays, could he do further damage to the left pinky? And then they'll have to come up with that answer and see if that is possible. But in my life of watching baseball, I don't ever recall a player breaking a finger and playing the next day. So I'm going to have to guess, and I'll do my best guess to say that he doesn't play today, and they'll evaluate it from there. Maybe there is some hope that he could play in the next round if the Marlins advance today, or maybe even some hope that he could play on Friday. But Joe, I'm super optimistic with the way that they've played. And look, they've won games without Starling Marte, remember, right after they got out of quarantine. But in terms of Marte's future, to say that we're going to see him the next 2 days, I think would be optimistic.
Craig, let's talk about those young arms. These are the arms when you made those trades for the three outfielders and the catcher, everybody's going, we always do this. We're talking about prospects. Well, now you get to see Alcantara, and how good he was for 6 2/3 innings. And tonight, or today, another guy in Sixto Sanchez that's got ridiculous stuff. How good are these guys? Your national guys raving about some of these young arms. What did you think about Alcantara yesterday?
Not surprising, Joe. This kid has really grown up a lot in the past year, physically, mentally, on the field, off the field. I mean, at this point, one of the few players that I can tangibly say is donating money and has his own foundation that he has started. I mean, this kid has really become something, and I knew him when he was very young with St. Louis on those backfields, Joe, at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium in Jupiter. He didn't speak any English whatsoever. None. I couldn't communicate with him. I had to talk to Carlos Martinez to be able to talk to him. And now he's become a star in the league. He's an ace. And although Don Mattingly yesterday after the game said that they've seen him better than that, I'm sure other pitchers have been better during the regular season, but this was a postseason game in his first game, and he was completely unfazed with all the struggles that their offense had. And I thought went out and pitched a pretty good game. And so he shut down the Yankees when they needed him in a game clincher. He shut down the Cubs in game one of the postseason. And the Marlins, I think, truly have their ace for the next 5 years. He's a great kid. He's a great pitcher.
Well, you got another young pitcher on the mound today, Sanchez, against Yu Darvish. I think that's a matchup today. Another big arm, another young big arm for this team. And these three-game series, like Joe said, and Joe's been preaching this since before they even started all this, the Marlins have an advantage with this young nucleus, this young pitching staff. Is that going to help them more than a lot of other teams that might have better hitting? But because of the young pitching staff, this three-game series set for the Marlins?
It looks that way right now, Zach. There's no doubt about that. And with taking a 1-0 lead, you'd be disappointed if they didn't beat the Cubs at this point, because that would mean that they've lost two games in a row. So, with their three starters, and especially with Sandy Alcantara and Pablo Lopez, you're talking about two pitchers that, are very consistent and can give you, in Pablo's case, not 8 or 9 innings. It's usually the third time through the lineup he has his struggles, but with the top guy in Sandy, you know exactly what you're getting. So with Sixto Sanchez, it's really interesting at this point, because Sixto Sanchez in his first few starts had the best start to any pitcher in Marlins history, and maybe in the last 10 years of any rookie pitcher not named Jose Fernandez, honestly. Sixto was unhittable. No one could touch him. And then I don't know what happened the last two games, because, I mean, the national guys, the local guys, I mean, if you watched six of those last two games, there's nothing that you could point to today to have confidence to say that he's going to go out and be the guy that he was the first few starts. Because they may think that, but he was extremely hittable. He was walking batters. And it almost looked like he just couldn't execute whatever game plan they had for him. So he may go out today, throw 8 innings, strike out 17, and we say, yes, this is exactly the guy that we thought. But his last two starts were unimpressive, and whatever they're asking him to do, and however they're asking him to do it, he has got to execute that game plan today, because he's going up against the potential Cy Young Award winner. I have no doubt that Sixto is going to be great. He may end up being the best Marlins starter, even better than Sandy Alcantara, but he's a very young pitcher. Teams did not have an ounce of video on this kid because he didn't even pitch in spring training. And it almost feels like all of a sudden teams have this advanced scouting. They realize some of the tendencies that he has, and they've been able to hit him. And he's been walking guys. So what are we going to get today? I have no idea.
Hey, Craig, timely hitting seems to be the words we hear about these guys that are playing every day. Like, this one big inning is the difference in that game. Seventh inning with the 5 runs yesterday. Is that how you look at this everyday lineup of guys that they've added, plus some of the guys that have been on this roster?
Yeah, a timely hitting, Joe, but not timely hitting by hitting two home runs in one inning. That is not something that I would have ever seen coming. I could see them getting a hit, stealing a base, moving a guy over, getting a double. Anderson hits a double or Aguilar gets a double. But this is not a team that scares you in terms of the home run, which is why it wasn't surprising to me that they won yesterday, because I did think they had a great shot to win the series. It was the way that they won, because they didn't look like they could hit anything through the first 6 innings. And then all of a sudden, Corey Dickerson, in his biggest hit as a Marlin, hits a 3-run home run, and the game completely shifts. So They're known to come back. They're known to be very good with two outs, and all those things are true, but they have not been doing it with the power. It has been more of the manufacturing, and I'm curious to see if that is sort of the way that they're going to develop this franchise moving forward, because, as you know, it's very hard to do without anyone in the lineup that's going to hit 30 or 40 home runs, and they really don't have anyone right now like that. But, I guess that's more of a question for 2021. The question simply for now is, can their young pitching keep them in the game and keep them in the game long enough to where they can scrap out some hits, score some runs, and advance?
Yeah. Craig, do you think the baseball world's ready for a Marlins and Tampa Bay World Series?
I don't know if they're ready even for a Tampa World Series. Tampa Bay World Series.
Hey, man, Rays have been unbelievable. How are these guys do every year? The second best record in baseball.
Yeah, it's a great story, and they did not give the Blue Jays an inch the last 2 days. Like, there was not even a moment where you thought the Blue Jays had a chance in that series. It's just a well-oiled machine there with the way that they do things. I think that Miami would love to replicate some of that low payroll, high outcome event. Oakland sort of does that the same way too, with a little bit more. True outcome power type deal with Oakland, a lot of home runs, a lot of strikeouts. But yeah, look, I mean, the Marlins, certainly if they get past this round, I guess anything goes, but you're not going to get me to pick the Marlins beating the Dodgers in the NLCS. I'm not going to do that. I could give you everything until that, but I don't think that I can do that.
Greg, we're just taking whatever we can get right now. Listen, man, we're not trying to be pigs here in the morning. It's just nice to see the Marlins playing baseball here with this new playoff system they have. How do they get this thing turned into the fan base? Craig, you have any – put your marketing hat on. I don't want to debate, like, who does a good job and who doesn't, but I'm just curious. How do we turn this in, what they're building, to getting people excited where you can get more fans than what they're used to getting here the last few years when they're allowed back? How do they get people to start coming to games?
Well, everything that they said that they have done, they have followed up with. They really, to this point, they have. So, I mean, they now have what looks like a winner, and they're at least building a winner. I don't know if that over 162 would translate into what they did in 60, but they built a competitive team. They built a winning team. They built a team with a lot of young prospects. So that job, I think, it's not done, but they're on their way to that. So I think the next two elements of that, at least from my perspective, is the first thing that they're going to have to do is they're going to have to financially commit to someone in their organization that shows fans that they're going to keep their own players. Because you can say whatever you want and execute whatever you want, but we've seen it before, the development of the young players here, and then they end up getting traded and some of the best in the history of the game, like Miguel Cabrera. That happened with him too. Not to say that they have that player on their roster. Maybe it's Sandy Alcantara, maybe it's Brian Anderson, but they're going to have to extend the player and give them $50 million. You know, like that's going to have to happen so we can say, oh, okay, this is their plan. They're keeping their young guys. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, in my opinion, is there are going to be, Joe, just some sour people who are never going to believe and are always going to be cynical of Marlins baseball. But those people are not kids. And kids are very impressionable. And I've said this for many, many years, some teams are doing it, and I believe the Marlins should too, is there should not be a kid who is 12 years old or under that should have to pay to go to a Marlins game. Their tickets should be free. And I would allow all kids, whenever they want, to be able to come to games and start becoming Marlins fans and build a new core and build a new group of fans that don't know anything about what happened in 1998 or 2004 after they won those World Series. And they'll tell their friends, and their friends will tell their friends, and guess who's got to pay? The parents, right? Because the kids can't get to the game without them. Some teams are doing it. I would like to see the Marlins do that. No kid should ever have to pay who's young. Let them build their fan base that way, and then there won't be this negative culture that reminds people of what happened in the past. And I think that's the way it begins.
You know what? That's a good idea. Nice little marketing idea from Craig Mish is a good way to end it. Craig, thank you, man, for coming on with us this morning. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks again for having me.
All right, that was Craig Mish. Catch him on the Sports Grid 12 to 2 every day. Marlins podcast, Swings and Mishes, and he's also an MLB Network contributor.
All right. Right now, hey, we're going to have a lot more. Rajah Bell's expected to join us at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk more about game one between the Heat and Lakers coming up here. And you can join us, 305-567-0560. If you like texting, just text us. Let us know what you're thinking as it continue on. And I don't know if the Marlins will ever do that. I heard that from somebody else. Said you got to let young people in for free. And he had said something to one of the members of the Marlins, and they weren't overly excited about that idea. So I don't know.
Not a bad way to grow that fan base, though.
But they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something major to get people in there that kids want to go. Parents will take them. We do what our kids want, man. It's not a bad idea.
That's right.
Hey, I'll tell you what's not a bad idea is refinancing with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage when you're tired of banks telling you it's going to take forever. Well, they don't tell you that, but you're like, hey, I thought we refinanced and I got approved and I'm good. And I'm going to get a fixed rate mortgage in the twos and save hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You're going, not so fast, my friend. It takes a while with me. Now with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, let him do it for you. Why are you dealing with banks? You know how banks are. They want the perfect people. How about if your credit score is down a little bit and then you go to your bank? Let me know how that goes. Well, listen, Michael Kotze's helping everyone. Answers questions right away. You don't have to get banker's hours appointments. They get right back to you. You can call or text them. This is what he does for a living 7 days a week. So if you have any questions, by the way, I want to talk to all the people that have been renting forever. Money is so cheap right now. It's a great time to find something you like and buy it. Buy it. Start building up equity in your own home, man. It's your future. Let's get rolling on it. And there's nobody better in South Florida to get started with than Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Let me just tell you a few things about him. He's been in business since 1994. A triple A rating with a Better Business Bureau. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166254. Here's his number. I want you to call or text him anytime. By the way, anytime. He can help you. Answer a question you might have about the mortgage, about the rates, about your credit score. Don't be embarrassed about anything you have to talk about. He's like a counselor, man. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. If you didn't write it down, just remember the name, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage.
Green, little hesitation. Now drives. Nice pass out to Davis for three. That's a difficult pass with his offhand. James up top to Kuzma. Fakes, drives, gets inside, finds Davis for the slam. James gets inside, goes reverse, left-handed. And it's back up 91-63. He's got 17 points, 9 boards, and 7 assists. James against Jones. Backs in, here comes the help. Spins away from that, and an easy layup. The Los Angeles Lakers take game one of these NBA Finals. Here in the bubble, they continue their excellent play. A dominant victory led by their two stars. The final score is an 18-point advantage, but they led by as many as 32.
Yeah, we're better than we showed tonight. Now, this is a very, you know, highly skilled, talented team. They have guys at the point of the attack in James and Davis that are going to break your defense down, can make plays over the top. So you have to be on a string, and you can't start to make things up. You have to be extremely disciplined and stay with it. There's too many times that they got us out of our typical things that we do, but that's also a big time credit to them.
All right, Coach Spo, pretty much just saying across the board, yeah, it wasn't good. Anthony Davis, 34, LeBron, 25, 13, and 9. Outplayed completely in about every way possible, and obviously the injury bug hitting the team didn't help any. With Bam and a shoulder, Dragon and a foot, Jimmy Butler and an ankle. And so we'll see what happens tomorrow night, game two. It's just one game, but it was after a 23-10 start. It was great. First 5 minutes, five and change looked great. LeBron goes out of the game. The big debate, well, maybe you should keep him in because you don't want this thing to get out of control. And the next thing you know, they've got the lead in the first quarter. Not at the half. They got the lead in the first quarter. Their bench guys came in and really, really played well. And as expected, their two big stars were the two big stars of the game with a lot of help from the supporting cast. And I mean, it's not just one thing that happened in the game where you go, well, if you clean this up, or you, like, it was pretty lopsided. Heat 11 to 35 on threes. The Lakers beat them there. They made more threes, shot a higher percentage of threes. Their bench played better, which I didn't know we'd be saying that. So a lot of things just did not go. They got out-rebounded and by a lot, 54-36. You can just go on, but the Lakers, after a slow start, man, when they picked it up and went on some big runs without turning into a rider here and tell you 19-3 run or 24-5 run or 18-3 run, and all three of those things, by the way, happened in the first, second, and third quarter, and that's how you're down 32 in the third.
But the worst one was the first quarter when LeBron got out. When LeBron left the game in the first quarter, like you said, and there was the, do you keep LeBron in or not, so it doesn't get out of hand, and it just went totally opposite for the Heat, and it was just stunning. It was stunning to watch that in the first quarter, to see LeBron leaving the game, you have such a nice lead, and then he doesn't even have to come back in for you to almost lose the lead at that point. Like, it was just terrible. And being out-rebounded by 18, you want to talk about little things you can clean up? Clean that up, get to the free throw line a little bit more. The big disparity in that, 14 attempts for the Heat, 27 for the Lakers. There are little things you can clean up, but you can't clean up Anthony Davis and LeBron James having games like that.
You just can't count on those guys having bad games either.
Right.
Like Anthony Davis just looked at times like he was just playing against kids. Just made it inside and outside. He's just so talented. Knocks down his free throws when he does. Post up every chance he gets down low. And they get him the ball when he does. And it just, a lot of problems.
I mean, the surprising thing was the Lakers did to the Heat what the Heat have been doing to these other teams, the Bucks and the Celtics, is they just out-muscled them the entire game. They were just much more physical. I think, Joe, the Heat need to go to their bench and start bringing in maybe a Myers Leonard or someone and just start, you know, hacking and hammering people and not giving the Lakers anything easy. And you got to match that physicality, because that was a very physical game. The Heat just got beat up.
I'm curious. Rajah Bell's expected to join us at 9 o'clock and see if he hit some specific areas or, giving some guys a chance to play. Or do they just – are we going to see more Kendrick Nunn, who played well when he got to play last night, had a good game? Does he get his old job back again in the starting lineup, especially if Dragan's going to be out, which – we don't know for sure yet. Not sure of about any of these guys and how they feel or how well they can play.
That was the biggest difference, right? Goran only playing 15 minutes, getting hurt, only scoring 6 points, and then Bam only in there for 21 minutes and scoring 8. Like, that's it for the Heat right there. You could almost sum it up by not even looking at the box score for the Lakers and saying you're not going to win a lot of games when those two guys, who have been two of your leading scorers throughout the playoffs to a point outside of Jimmy, like, they had nothing. 14 combined points. That's it.
The injury bug's not, two-year bet. You're right. Two of you guys have been two-year consistent scorers.
Gordon's been your leading scorer throughout the playoffs, and now he might be lost. And Kendrick Nunn, who's played hardly anything in the entire bubble, all of a sudden now might have to go back into the starting lineup. You know, like, big change.
How about Kendrick Nunn, man? Like, literally, what he finished second rookie of the year.
Right.
Goes out of the starting lineup, loses his position. Then he's not even playing. And now he could, last night, because the blowout, he got some playing time and the injury bug. And now he could be, who knows? We'll see what Spo does.
We played 20 minutes last night. He played 22 minutes in the entire Boston series.
Yeah. No, it's
wow.
And that's after finishing. Would he finish second or third in the rookie of the year?
John Moran, Zion, and then him. Yep.
Anyway, can you imagine that? Finish third in rookie of the year.
And then you're on the bench.
And by the way, now they don't even talk about him being the best, where everything's Tyler Hero now. Right. So, his story's been unbelievable. Listen, Kendrick Nunn's story is still one of the best stories on this team. And we'll see if he can have an impact on this thing going forward. We just talked to Craig Mish, and of course the Marlins get game one against the Cubs yesterday, 5-1. Everything's on ABC, by the way. And by the way, did ABC blow it out last night? My God.
That Manso's not sleeping for weeks. That's
no, he's making him a lot of money, and he's not getting paid any extra. I'd love to know what Will Manso doing all these pregame and postgame shows, you know, besides doing the sports every 6 and 11, and the amount of money that they generate. Like ABC, pretty good time for them to have the – think about this. They've had the Canes on a Saturday night game 2 weekends in a row. They've got all of these games on ABC, I believe, and it's your team, which generates tons of money because of the ratings. And they're getting all the money from all these ads as they start to pick up for all these political positions that everybody's running for. This vicious, nasty world that is turning in some of these ads. And some of the ugly ones, the ugliest ones in the country are right here in South Florida.
Right.
Yeah, they're calling my man Carlos Jimenez, corrupt Carlos Jimenez. You can't do that to him.
Not just Carlos, but the kids.
Yeah, they got a picture of the kids.
Picture of the kids, man.
Like you bring the kids into
Low blow.
I guess there's no are there any rules and regulations on I don't know.
Wait a minute. Did you just ask if there's rules and regulations?
Yeah, Joe, there's a code of ethics. They just haven't been following it this time.
You saw the debate, right? You followed the rules and regulations.
No, that was just get liquored up and two guys just trash talk each other before they start fighting at a bar right there.
Don't ever forget Donna Shalala killed UM football.
Yeah. Oh God.
Remember, I mean, come on, Joe. This
but,
is ugly.
But, hey, you know who's winning? The general manager of Channel 10 is sitting back going, hey, Will Manso, I love you, man. You keep bringing it. Hey, I'm going to make sure when this is done, I swear, I'm going to get you a little time off.
Right.
Don't you worry. Yeah. I always think ABC, man. I go, you guys are the luckiest friggin' all this football thing works out. You get two of those games. You know they made a ton of money on the nationally televised Saturday night game on that.
And when does Monday Night Football go back to ABC? Is it next season?
I believe next year. They promised them.
Right.
You get us off ESPN and get us back on ABC, we'll do a better job for you.
Right.
We'll help you guys
But those
out.
Guys did a nice job yesterday, Will and Clay, on that pregame show. It was very enjoyable to watch those two guys. And then you get, you know, all of a sudden it goes right into Paul Pierce and Jalen and Jay Will and the rest of the losers over there. And it's just really a buzzkill before the game.
So I want to say this, first of all, to you there, Homer, Hank Homer. The national guy's job is not to sit and make us feel really good here in South Florida. But Paul Pierce just hates on us all the time. He's the one.
But just humor me, Paul. Tell me it's going five. Like keep me a little bit interested. Don't tell me you're going to get four games and blowouts. Like, I know you're an angry loser, but come on, man.
Paul Pierce hates
understand the business you're in. Try to keep me around a little. Keep me interested.
Paul Pierce is so wants to be like Charles Barkley. He so wants to be Charles Barkley, and you either have it or you don't. And Charles Barkley with the funny, dumb, good, whatever the stuff he's doing, half the time they get away from the game and just do hilarious stuff about weight, food.
Right.
Somebody showing up late. I mean,
Joe,
you can't make that
us.
Stuff up.
Right.
They do stuff naturally. Like Shaq being late, getting caught in traffic, that ends up being one of the best shows they've ever had because the guy walks in while the show's going on, and Barkley like, "Hey, the first damn show we have, and you're late." I mean, stuff that happens off the air, they're doing on the air, and you're like, "Was that part of the shtick?" Like there were people going, "That was just part of the entertainment, right there." Right? You go, "No. The guy was late. Like Shaq was late. He came on, apologized. He got caught." He tried to do a last second show up. He got caught in traffic. Any city will do it to you. And Paul Pierce and those guys can't do that. That team can't do it. I don't have anything against anybody on that show. That show has just struggled. You know, everybody gets on Monday Night Football. The biggest problem, think about all the people they've kicked off that show.
Right.
And they don't want back. Or they're just getting ripped. They're going, I don't want to be part of this damn thing. Just look at all the people that this show hasn't worked out for.
Just amazing how many people are under the ESPN umbrella that this is the crew they found.
What city even likes Paul Pierce, by the way? Like, does Boston like him, or one of those nine teams that he played for at the end
Boston
of his career?
No,
I mean, I know
Boston
he played on every team in the league at the end to try to get another ring because he's a career bum, but I just don't know what city likes him. I was just curious if you guys knew.
Boston. That's it. Boston.
Listen, he had a great career in Boston before you.
He won a title in Boston. Why is it known?
Why is it every time you get going on something, like, I'm surprised you haven't got this into their play-by-play last night, the actual broadcast. Go ahead. It's been 2 hours since you went from Paul Pierce to Mark Jackson.
I'm not a huge Mark Jackson fan either.
You got to admit he's not that bad on there.
I don't admit that he's pretty bad.
So if you think he's bad, then you think Van Gundy's bad too.
I like Van Gundy. I'd put the Van Gundy brothers on there, by the way. That would be good TV.
So what has Mark Jackson done wrong that turns you off for that? What's he do that?
I'm just not a fan of it. I just don't like
him. I think they got really good chemistry. Next thing you're going to be ripping their play-by-play guy, who's one of the best in sports. All right, we got to go to break here. You always got to take it like whatever it is. Like, we're on the Paul Pierce thing, and next thing you know, you're ripping everything. You're ripping the Monday Night Football team. You don't like it. And yet I never see you turn it off. Have you ever turned it off?
No, Joe, I don't turn it off.
It's part of course, Joe, with Hollywood.
Gosh, man. Mark Jackson.
A lot of ripping to do this morning, man.
Right.
Jeez, man. I do hope one thing. I hope you're wrong. I hope you're right about Paul Pierce. I hope his prediction is completely wrong and that this isn't what it looked like last night, and they can bounce back here in game two and all of a sudden get this thing back.
Just one game, Joe.
Just one game.
Just one game. That's all we got.
It's just one. Hey, Zach, we got a little injury report. What do you got for us?
Right, we still have the Dolphins and the Seattle Seahawks. This is Sunday afternoon here, and we have to give you the injury report brought to you by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. The experts treat all athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit UHealthSportsMedicine.com. It looks like on the injury report, Byron Jones and Tua did not practice on Wednesday. Full practice from Brandon Jones and Kayvon Frazier and Xavier Howard were limited. And on the other side, by the way, did not practice for Seattle. Dwayne Brown, their tackle. Jamal Adams, their strong safety out there. Quentin Dunbar, someone whose name's been in the news relatively lately. And limited was Chris Carson, their running back there as well. That is the injury report for Sunday, brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. The experts there treat all athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit UHealthSportsMedicine.com.
I feel great. I've been preparing for this moment for quite a while. Fans, no fans. The inner challenge for myself and the way I prepared myself, it felt amazing to be playing in the finals once again. I've experienced moments in my career, finals games, where you had all the momentum in the world and you felt like you had the game under control. And one play here or one play there could change the course of a series or change the course of a game. And one in particular that always rings home for me is game two of the 2011 finals in Miami versus Dallas. D. Wade hits a three right by that bench, I believe put us up either 13 or 17. And from that moment on, Dallas went on a hell of a run and finished it off with a Dirk Nowitzki left-hand layup to steal that game. That burns me to this day. So I always talk about the best teacher in life is experience, so I've experienced a lot. So that's what prompted me to be who I am today, is being able to have those experiences.
LeBron James talking about an old memory that we all remember, the first year here where he friggin' decided to stop trying to shoot the basketball in the fourth quarter. Never been able to understand it. But he changed after that year. Hell, he talked to, I think, Hall of Famers, went to basketball counseling, and they all said the same thing. Shoot! Shoot the ball late in the damn game instead of passing it to all these other guys that aren't as good as you are. But
after the Dallas loss, didn't he spend some of the summer with Hakeem Olajuwon?
I think he did.
I think he was trying to get the low post game working for himself because he was so much bigger than everyone else.
Well, whatever he's done, he's been pretty damn good since that. That teaser of that series and the big celebration by Dallas because they went on to win the next two before we got smoked out of the gym in San Antonio, where the air conditioning unit went down, and he cramped up, and that was it, man. That was the end of that series. Hey, so anyway, we got some football news here that I wanted to bounce over to here. Hopefully, Rajah Bell's going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. we'll have the former NBA player and now working with CBS. And I still think the head basketball coach at American Heritage Plantation. How's that, having Rajah Bell and Patrick Surtain as your head coaches of your football and basketball team?
Not bad at all, right?
Huh?
Two pros, right. Not bad
not,
at all.
Not bad for a couple of old school guys that over there. So they're talking about this game now, moved again. It will not be played on Sunday. Probably the best game of the week when you look at the Steelers and the Tennessee Titans. So now the league has said they'll either play Monday night, part of a doubleheader, will be the early game before Green Bay and Atlanta, or they can play Tuesday. And CBS has said, we'd like to keep our game, please. Would you mind playing Tuesday? Now, obviously, that is a normal day off for players. So I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if I'm guessing it's got to be a union, a league thing if they do it. But they're talking about having, and selfishly, on the fan side of this, I'd love to see that game on CBS 7 o'clock on Tuesday. We don't get a lot of those, but if you're going to give me a good game like that, my God. I get why CBS wants it. I mean, that first of all, anything with the Steelers, one of the most popular teams that we have in the National Football League, and the Tennessee Titans and Tannehill and the Titans is what we're calling them now. 7 o'clock. Could be. So we're going to find out, I guess, today. As it's a weird one because Tennessee has been told they can't be at their practice facility,
Saturday.
But they have to continue doing testing to see where this thing is. I got to tell you, it's a start. The league's done an unbelievable job for not being quarantined and being allowed to go home at night and all their family members living a normal life as everything starts to open up. And I'm not getting into politics or anything, but it's just a fact. I'm a little concerned specifically for the Miami Dolphins going forward with everything opening up. I don't even think you have to wear a mask. I don't see that these guys and their families bringing it home to them or those guys going out. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of preaching to these guys. I mean, I'm guessing every team that says, I know our state is opening up, but I need you guys to be careful. It's still out there. You know, according to who you talk to, it's still going strong. You can't see it, but if you bring it back and we miss it somehow through testing, we could lose some games. And if we lose enough games and it spreads through this league, they're going to have to shut it down. So it's my biggest concern. What happened in Tennessee as they open and controversy around the schools and the kids going back and the teachers upset and cruise ships now going to be in and out, all the other stuff that we have, that we live with down here as part of South Florida. And again, if you're all in favor of it, I understand, okay? And I'm not trying to get in debate, but I do worry, you know, just because you tell me, well, the athletes aren't really going to be affected if they get it. They should just allow them to play. Nah, it doesn't work that way. That's not how it works.
Right. And Joe, whether it's a doubleheader on Monday or they play it on Tuesday, it's got fantasy football implications all over it too, by the way. And you can listen here for Fantasy Football Reports weekdays here on the show, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Who's hot, who's not, we'll tell you. Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. That's one of the questions that was kind of in my little text chain of what happens, because you got to think that Pittsburgh-Tennessee game, if it's played on Tuesday, that's kind of outside of the fantasy week. It usually ends after Monday Night Football. What do you do there? And there's a lot of guys on those two teams that'll be used in fantasy football over the weekend as well. So there's implications on this game just about everywhere outside of when they're going to play it, if it gets canceled, and, of course, for the fantasy heads out there, that too.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, Big Ben, there's James Conner, a lot of guys in that game.
Derrick Henry in his 100-yard games, man, as he continues.
A couple touchdowns, too.
Tannehill, yeah, his best friend.
Ryan Tannehill, right too, by the way. He's on a lot of fantasy football teams as well. There's a lot of implications in this game.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of good players. And Big Ben is back, and we'll see what he can do. Two of the teams off to a great start, both teams undefeated. Hey, we're hoping to have Rajah Bell when we come back here and talk some, maybe he can help us try to figure out what took place last night. from the eyes of a former NBA player. Just curious. We'll have him coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. I talk about them a lot. I love the products, and I know you will too for 2020, because this is about as good as it's ever been, top to bottom. Whether you're looking for a new car, new truck, or new SUV, I know the safety features, you need more space, you want a great look, and you want something you can afford. Those are all the fundamentals, and South Florida Chevy dealer says, come on down. We think we've really got to roll in with the Chevy Open Road Sale event that's on right now for you to really take a look with the new looks come in for 2021, too, including the new Tahoes. Oh, I can't wait to see that new Tahoe. It is going to be smoking hot. Silverado trucks, my gosh, we got so many different style trucks. It's hard to imagine when you tell them what you're looking for in a truck, whether it's something for the little ones plus something you got to work in. Boy, the Silverado truck, we got the perfect one for you with a great deal behind it. And, of course, our new midsize SUVs like the Traverse. Got all that room you need for the big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style. The Chevy Blazer, oh, nothing looks better than a Chevy Blazer. You talk about just a fantastic look to go with everything else. And I want to tell you about our smaller SUV, the Equinox. It's got everything, technology, active safety features. So whatever you're looking for in the SUV family, we know you're going to love it. We want you to come down and take a test drive. We're all over Broward. We're all over Dade County, even Monroe County. So what are you waiting for? Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.